have just been on holidays for a week, or a few days anyway. And just before that, I prepared a message for you today. And I knew I was going to be away, so I wanted to have everything sweet, all organised. And I even bought a couple of clips to go with it that, you know, I thought really gave the message. But then the fires happened. And I think they're very much on our minds this morning. Last week, Mark spoke about getting ready for a great year in Jesus. And the series includes prayer and faith and energy and time and contentment and identity. And Mark reminded us that there's just no substitute for time with God. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer. Hello, go away. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And that's what we need to do, particularly in times of disaster. But there's no point in praying if we don't expect anything to happen, is there? Is there any point at all to praying if we don't expect an outcome? God doesn't always say yes, but he builds our faith in times of disaster. What am I talking about? We might have the next slide, please. What am I talking about when I'm talking about faith? Well, Hebrews 11 and verse 1 gives us the definition of faith. Faith's the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And just because we don't immediately see an outcome doesn't mean that God hasn't heard our prayer. Faith's the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Simply put, the biblical definition of faith is trusting in something you cannot explicitly prove. Could everybody stand up for a moment, please? Now sit down again. How many of you expected your seat to collapse? None. You had faith in it, didn't you? And faith can be as simple as that. When you drove here this morning, if you came to a traffic light and yours was green, you had faith that the other one was red and you were going to be able to go through. Now, mostly that'd be right, but sin gets in the way as well, doesn't it? Well, faith is trusting in something that you cannot explicitly prove. I can't prove explicitly all that I believe about God. I had to take it on faith when I made a step, and I can still remember it. When I started praying things like, God, if you are real, then forgive me for the stuff I've mucked up. God, if you are real, step in and change this situation. And that's how I started praying. And then I went to church and people were just so good to us that I couldn't get out of that building that day without recommitting my life to Christ. You see, I'd been brought up by godly parents, and although they weren't going to church, they still had a faith. And I knew, because they sent me to Sunday school along with my siblings, I knew what was right. I knew the tenets of the Christian faith, if you like. Well, I don't want to talk about just faith this morning. If we could have the next slide, I want to talk about winsome faith. Winsome's an old-fashioned word, but, you know, I'm an old-fashioned person, aren't I? I'm not exactly 16 anymore, although I'd like to be. Well, I don't know. I'd like to be 16 with the knowledge that I have today. Winsome faith. It's winsome because it's appealing to the curious. There's a whole host of people that have been hugely affected by one of the biggest disasters in Australia's history right now. And they're curious about why people would believe in a God that would allow such a thing. And it's winsome because our faith can win some people to Christ's love and mind. And win some because we can win some people. We share and Holy Spirit convicts. But if we don't share, are we allowing God to build his kingdom here on earth? I really don't want to concentrate on what faith is. You can read Hebrews 11 for yourself for that. There's more than 24 examples in there of what faith is in Hebrews chapter 11. Rather, I want to concentrate on what faith means. Life-changing faith. Real faith. Faith with feet on. Winsome faith. Faith that gets things done. Our next slide's of Denzel Washington. And he said, "The Bible says faith without works is nothing. So destiny is great. Fate is great. Faith is great. But you still have to work at it. I don't just sit at home and wait for it all to unfold." He's quoting from James chapter 2, verses 14 and 17. "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." And the next slide, thanks. I need hardly tell you about the emergency that we're facing. It's the greatest bushfire emergency since our record started. International media outlets have been reporting that the 2018 California fires, horrific fires, they burnt out 2 million acres. Sorry, I think in acres, not hectares. I'm old. Is there anyone else here who might think in acres? I think I can see a few farmers around. 2 million acres in the California fires. The 2019 Amazon fires that we heard so much about, and the world was saying, "Oh, woe are you. you need to, you South Americans, you terrible people, you need to be putting those fires out. It's all contributing to global warming. Well, they were 2.2 million acres. The Siberian fires that we don't hear anything about because, hey, it's Siberia. How would that affect Australia? You know, we wouldn't think about that. Well, they were a mere 6.7 million acres. But the fires that are burning today are far greater than that. What we've seen so far in Australia over the end of last year and the beginning of this year is more than six times the Californian fires. More than six times and growing. The fire fronts that we're seeing are just simply enormous. Well, I've heard people say time and time again in the reporting, only an act of God can stop these fires. But do we have the faith to ask God and believe that He will? That's the question for us at the moment. Only an act of God can stop these fires. Well, I believe that. Nature is just the world obeying God's laws, the laws that He set down when He created this earth. And I believe that God can and will stop the fires. So we need to pray. And we need the sort of faith to pray, like the little girl who was invited to the prayer meeting about the drought and wanted the drought to break. So the little girl whom I saw went along to the prayer meeting. She couldn't have been more than five or six. And you know what she had in her hand? An umbrella. She believed. And really, she put us to shame. She really believed that if she prayed for rain, God would send rain. If we really believe that God will break this drought, which is what's behind the fires, if God will break this drought, then if we believe that, I believe God will do so. So why don't we join with Christians across Australia and pray? Now I'm going to challenge you. Could every second pew turn around and face the ones in front of you? All right, so the front row, turn around and face the one behind, and so on. Why am I doing this? Because I want you to pray in a group. So feel free to get up and move a bit if that's inconvenient where you're praying. But get into little groups. All right? And when you're in groups that you can hear each other praying and see each other, then on the next slide, we've got a few of those prayer points. Some of the things that we need to be praying about. Now, you'll come up with all sorts of different ones, and that's fine too. But for the next 10 minutes, say, let's see if we can pray, and we can literally pray up a storm. Not a windstorm. We don't want a windstorm. We want a rainstorm. We want rain to cover all the area, all the east coast of Australia, so that the drought can be broken and the fires can be stopped. Will you pray? All right, let's pray.